Welcome to Rising Stars in the Sunshine City, an interview segment featuring the young people making an impact in St. Petersburg today. This is the Millennial Edition, and I'm Karen Carmichael. My guest today is Andres Cintron. Andres is the current president of the 13th Street Heights Neighborhood Association. He is the new Council of Neighborhood Associations Public Safety Chair and a recent graduate of their leadership program. Andres has been a resident of St. Petersburg since August of 2023, and in the last 9 months, he's been instrumental in reestablishing the Neighborhood Association at 13th Street Heights. Through his leadership, Andres has been able to establish a community following, has created community events such as neighborhood cleanups, and has created partnerships with Keep Pinellas Beautiful and other neighborhood associations like Campbell Park. Andres considers himself an educator at heart, and he works full-time at the University of South Florida, St. Pete, as a career counselor for the MUMA College of Business, and has been in higher education for almost 10 years. Please join me in welcoming Andres Cintron, career counselor for the University of South Florida College of Business. Andres, welcome to Radio St. Pete.
Thank you for having me.
So what can you tell our listeners about, you know, a little bit about who you are, your background, where you're originally from?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is always one of those difficult questions where you're trying to figure out, what should I say about myself? But so my name is Andres Cintron. I am originally from Puerto Rico, grew up and was raised in Puerto Rico, was born there. But my parents came to the United States, to Connecticut, in the mid-90s, I want to say. So mostly grew up in the Northeast. I've only been in Florida for about 3 years now. But aside from that, I am the current president for the 13th Street Heights Neighborhood Association. And I recently just became a part of the executive board in Kona as the public safety chair. So I'm very excited about that. And I work at the University of South Florida here in St. Pete as the career counselor for the MUMA College of Business. I've been there for about a month now, but previously I've been in higher education for the past, I want to say maybe 7 to 10 years, somewhere around there in different roles. And I was at the University of Tampa here in Tampa recently prior to coming to USF. So it's a little bit about my background.
So you work in the College of Business over at USF, and just curious, how do you think your work there impacts the St. Petersburg community?
Yeah, I think that specifically being at USF in general, USF is such a large institution, and most of the students at USF are from in-state, right? And I think one of the great things about being at the St. Petersburg College itself, at the St. Petersburg campus, it's a smaller campus, and we're able to really make an impact on those students that are coming to USF and St. Pete that want to be at the St. Pete campus because of either its location, its proximity to the area, or they're from the area. They're sometimes coming from other parts in the state. But my work as a career counselor is so important because as we educate future leaders, as we educate students, the importance of going out there, finding the career that you enjoy, your passions, what does that look like for you personally, professionally? And so my role really just makes sure that I am helping students get to where they want to be so that they can be effective leaders, they can be effective community members within their careers and what they want to do in life. And so I'm so excited to be a part of the USF family, being part of here at St. Pete's campus and providing support and services to all the students here at the USF St. Pete campus.
Can you give us some kind of an example or an anecdote that illustrates your point?
I think that if I can reflect a little bit on my experiences, I've been in higher education for almost 10 years, and I mentioned a little bit about growing up in Puerto Rico, and I come from a background that wasn't very, in terms of education, did not have a lot of access. I think none of my grandparents went to school. My parents themselves didn't go to school. I think my mom ended up getting her GED at some point. And for me, as an educator, I always think back about how education has been at the forefront of my success in my life. And so I always tell students and the importance of education, and education being a tool, a weapon that you use to better yourself. I think it was Nelson Mandela who spoke about the importance of education as a tool for empowerment, right? And, you know, everything can be taken away from you, but the one thing that cannot be taken away from you is education. So for me, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for the opportunities that I've had with education and in educating myself and putting myself in those opportunities or those areas where I've been able to learn and give back. And I think, and I always tell students all the time, and education doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to go to college, right? Education is just educating of becoming knowledgeable about information and how do you utilize that information for the betterment of everyone. You know, I think it's important. It starts for oneself, right? I think you need to be a little bit of that selfishness about yourself and educating yourself. But then what do you do with that information afterwards, right? And so for me, I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, kind of highlight the importance of education in my life, which has led me to be where I am in supporting other students and wanting to help students be successful in their educational journey. I've had many students who have come back to me and expressed such gratitude of the impact that I've had in their life and their educational journey and supporting them, whether it's very little things about just giving them some resources or being there with them when they're having the toughest moments in their educational journey, whether it's through mental health, whether it's through just the stress and anxiety of getting through college. As a first-generation college student myself, knowing the importance of those students who don't have the same access as those who had the privilege of going to college from generation to generation, right? As a first-generation college student, it's very difficult to navigate that. And so I've had a lot of students who come from being in a first-generation or come from a minority backgrounds. And as a person of minority, it's really important for me to help and support those that are the most vulnerable and the ones that need the most support.
So career-wise, personally, as reestablishing your neighborhood, what are some of the challenges you faced?
I think that some of the challenges that I faced personally, I would probably say is finding really the resources that I needed. I think that sometimes I look back at my personal journey and I always say to myself, oh, I wish I had known about this, because then I find out about it later. An example of that might be grants or specific opportunities or scholarships or stuff when I was going to college. And it's not easy to go through life and knowing that, you know, I finished college and I have all this debt. And so I want to make sure that, again, I go back to that being that support and resource for others, because I wish that I had that in my own personal experience, because I didn't have parents who went to college. I didn't have individuals in my life that really were able to guide me in figuring out that career and how to get there and how to progress. And so a lot of that I had to do it on my own. So when I reflect back a lot of my journey, it's just been trying to figure things out on my own. And there's things where things happen and maybe it doesn't go the right way, or I have a hard time. And so for me, it has just been really thinking about that component of my personal experience. Sometimes I reflect back and I think about those things and I say, okay, I wish I had known about that, but I wouldn't change it, because I think a lot of the things that I have to dealt with to get to where I am today has led me to be who I am today, being that strong individual, resilient to, you know, continuing and bettering myself in any roadblock. Whether it was coming from Puerto Rico and learning more of the English or the culture here, trying to assimilate to the culture in the United States, trying to maintain myself and my own culture and my own family. In many ways, in some ways, a lot of us who are first-generation college students end up leaving our family behind in a sense. We have that sense of guilt sometimes because we're trying to better ourselves, but at the same time, we want to better our family as well, but they need us, especially when you're raised by a single mother with three kids. I mean, you know, it becomes a point in time where you know you have to also contribute, but at the same time, you want to move forward and you want to progress in life because you see the importance of progressing for yourself, but also for all of you as a whole. So that's always sometimes really challenging that a lot of us who are first generation, who are minority, who have to take care of our families have to face, that those who are privileged enough to not have to deal with that don't necessarily always think about. But that's me personally and career-wise. You know, establishing the neighborhood association itself, I think we are such at the early stages of the organization or the association that right now we're really wanting to involve as many community members as possible, getting the word out there. And there is some individuals who don't want change. We've had moments where we'll go around, hand out door hangers and talk to the community members, and they tell us to our face, we don't need any change. This is how it is here. We like it like as it is, but we don't need any change. And then you have other individuals who are moving into the community who want change, who want to see, you know, betterment. And even some that are generationally from the neighborhood want to see change and want to see progression, right? So there's always going to be some roadblocks and some pushback. But I think the most important thing, and I think that one of the things that helps me is that resiliency and just continuing on, not letting those roadblocks get to you, and continue to do the work that I want to do, that I people have set expectations for me to do, that they rely on me to do, and hopefully be successful in that.
So you're a new resident to St. Petersburg, and it's always interesting to see the city with a fresh set of eyes. What do you see as the current or maybe future challenges here in St. Pete?
This is interesting because I've only been in St. Pete for less than a year. I moved into St. Pete in August of 2023, and I'm very fortunate, and I don't mind talking about this, because originally I was looking in the Tampa area when I was looking for a home to, you know, purchasing a home, and I entered into the Tampa DARE program, which is a housing assistance program to help you purchase a home. And I couldn't find anything in the Tampa area, but I always knew about St. Pete. I always loved St. Pete. I always said to myself, I would love to live in St. Pete, but I never thought that it would be in my budget. I didn't think it was in the cards for me. I didn't see it accessible for me. And it wasn't until my realtor who said to me, let's look at other areas. How is St. Pete? And I said to my realtor, oh, I love St. Pete. Let's get to St. Pete. And she did what she had to do, and we found a home. And we went through the St. Pete's and Pinellas County program, which helps you with down payment assistance for first-time home buyers and low income and all those things. And even though I am a professional, I work in higher education. I mean, as you know, Karen, education doesn't pay enough. I'm still considered low income, even though I have a master's degree and experience and all those kind of things. It's the way the world works right now. And so grateful. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to community members about my experience, how I got to St. Pete through those support services that they have, through those housing support services and all the other opportunities that the city has, and why the city is such an amazing city, and being able to give back, right? So, but in the short time that I have been here, and as an educator, and I go back to, you know, the importance of educating yourself in all aspects of life, right? I don't think that St. Pete is necessarily immune to a lot of the things that we're seeing across the country, right? When we talk about either climate change, either housing, you know, for low affordable housing, maybe even crime, right? I don't think that St. Pete itself is immune to any of these things. But in my experience at St. Pete in the short period of time and what I've known about St. Pete, I really think that one of the major things that we're dealing with, and I see this in my neighborhood in 13th Street Heights, the city's growing. We're bringing a lot of people from different areas, and that's fantastic because I understand the importance of the city growing and bringing investors and bringing, you know, those who want to be part of the city. But what are we doing to those individuals that are here so that they don't feel that they're being misplaced or pushed elsewhere, right? And I think that's one of the things that I see in my neighborhood specifically. And that's how sometimes I feel like I get a little bit of pushback, because it's a predominantly African-American neighborhood historically. And I know I'm not from that background or culture. And so I see a lot of new residents. I see a lot of people coming in and thinking, you know, how do I fit in here? But at the end of the day, pushing that aside and saying, we all have shared, you know, needs and desires and what we want as a community, that does not necessarily have to be based on your ethnic background or your race. It's a community that's based on everybody, right? What everybody needs. How do we want to see each other grow as a community together? And so I think for, you know, that's one of the things that really come to my mind as I think about the city and my neighborhood itself.
So on your journey, did you have a mentor, or is there somebody in your life that you admire?
You know, I I mentioned a little bit about, you know, reflecting on my experiences in my life and having to figure things out and on my own and really trying to navigate my journey. You know, my mother was always a mentor for me. I cannot mention my mother because my mother took us from Puerto Rico because looking for a better life. You know, even though I love Puerto Rico, and if I be honest, I would love to go back and live my life in Puerto Rico. But understanding the reasons why she chose to leave Puerto Rico, come to United States, come to Connecticut specifically, it took a very strong individual to do that, to take three children on her own, work and provide for her three children. You know, I think I always look at my mother as that person who maybe that's why I am the way that I am in terms of thinking about being that really leader, being that resilient individual, that go-getter, being that person who wants to know it all, who wants to figure things out, who wants to be successful, who wants to provide, who wants to be a support. So I always look at my mother in terms of that specific way. And then as I think about my educational or career journey, I always look at those individuals who have been there for a reason. I always feel that people come into your life for a purpose, for a reason. And I think it's always really important to be grateful to that and to admire that, because I look at my teachers, and I'm sure you get this, that you were a school teacher. I look at my teachers, and if it wasn't for my teachers specifically, when I remember my teacher from eighth grade, and I forget her name, but she always pushed me, and she always kind of just was always there for me. And I always look at those individuals that have been there at specific moments in my life that had, and even in college, when I was in college and getting, you know, those teachers and friends who were around me who kept pushing me and coworkers that pushed me. So I think that in my experience is just as a, you know, thinking of mentorship, but it's just really those people who are around me and motivate me. So I always tell students it's really important to not only have a mentor that you can receive guidance from, but just those around you. Think about who is around you, why they're around you. Do they serve a purpose? And what purpose do they serve? And how are they elevating your purpose in life, right? Rather than bringing you down. And those are your mentors already. So it's always important to think about that. They're around you. And how are you, you know, utilizing them in a sense, and not to come across selfish, because I don't think that is. But I think it's important to realize those who are around you and the purpose that they fulfill in your life and how they're elevating you, both professionally, personally, and whatever it is that you want to do in your life.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I want to say thank you for having me. You know, 13th Street Heights is having its official first meeting of the year with the new community members and the new, we haven't established an actual executive board yet, but we're having our first meeting on June 5th at the Enoch Davis Center at 6 p.m. So I welcome those who are maybe listening from 13th Street Heights. And if you're not from 13th Street Heights, you're always welcome as well, because I'm really excited about being a part of this. Again, at the end of the day, I am not someone who is all about, you know, power or being the, you know, dictatorship, leadership or anything like that. I, at the end of the day, want to support and be resource and support for everybody and do my part, because I always feel that if you want to see change, if you want to see progression, it starts with you. You can't wait for it to happen. You have to take that step and initiative. You know, so many people are just constantly, you know, either, I don't say this in a bad way, complaining or just making negative comments about, oh, when is this going to happen, or this, or the city or the government or whoever it is. But I think real change really happens within you. And if you making that change, then change will happen. You can't wait for it to happen. And so I'm so excited for our meeting, and hopefully it goes well. I'm sure it will. And join us on June 5th.
Well, from what I've seen of your presentations, I'm sure that meeting will go well, because you're very organized. So when we wrap things up, I'd like to ask the folks I interview if they can recommend a book or a podcast or a movie or a television series, you know, maybe more than one thing. What have you got for us?
Ooh, I have so many. I'm really big on, if you haven't already gotten this through this conversation, but I love self-help books, or books that really elevate me and make me think. And The title may not be appropriate. It starts with Un-F Yourself. But it's a wonderful book. It is by Gary John Bishop. It was a bestseller. I literally recently just read this book, and I read it 2 times. I kid you not. It's just such a great book. If you're looking for something to lift you, you know, get you out of wherever the situation that you are, sometimes we all need it. And even if you don't think you need it, trust me, you know, you do. So it's a really great book. There's so many that play with those kind of titles, but it's a great one. So it's by Gary John Bishop, and I recommend it.
All right. Well, thanks. And thanks for joining me today.
No, it's been thank a pleasure. You. Thank you for having
speaking
me.
with you. I look forward to all the work you're going to do in your community, Andres.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
You've been listening to Rising Stars in the Sunshine City. That was Andres Cintron, the current president of 13th Street Heights Neighborhood Association, the new Council of Neighborhood Associations Public Safety Chair, and the career counselor for the University of South Florida St. Pete, MUMA College of Business. I'm Karen Carmichael.